Jesus, I thank you that in spite of the disarray that our society seems to be in when it comes to this health crisis, I pray that we would know your presence and we would know your peace. Thank you, Father, for your patience with us as we serve you and as we look for ways to honor your Son, the Savior. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. So let me ask you what might seem to be kind of a personal question. What are you eating these days? Is it stuff that's good for you? Is it stuff that sustains you? Maybe something that simply quiets your hunger? Maybe the stuff you're eating puts your hunger to sleep, but really doesn't help your body thrive. Maybe your diet right now is downright bad for you. Now, before you get mad at me and think maybe that I'm going to talk about a new COVID diet plan for Hidden Creek, let me tell you that I'm going to talk about a few verses that are nutritional boosts for our soul. Okay, breathe a sigh of relief. Take a sip of your coffee. Take another bite of your French toast. Take another spoonful of your oatmeal, or another bite of the pizza that's left over from last Thursday night. And let's take a look at a few verses together. So let me ask, what's the difference between a candy bar and a nutrition bar? Now, there's not really anything wrong with either. Both have their place. Both have a role to play. Both give us energy at different levels and for different durations. But a nutrition bar is an intentionally crafted piece of food. It's intentionally crafted to provide maximum results in a small package. They are densely packed with stuff that's good for us. They're full of vitamins, minerals, good fats, good carbs, good proteins. When the Apostle Paul wrote his letters to the churches, he wrote like a fine crafter of nutrition bars. As we read through his letters, there are clusters of packets of spiritual nutrition throughout his letters. Today, I want to look at one of those nutrition packets pressed into five verses. In these verses, we'll find nutrition for our soul today and nutrition for the days ahead. So let's unwrap the package and turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Now, Colossians is found in the last third of our New Testament. And as you turn, look for Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then you should get to Colossians. If you find that you're in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, then you've gone too far. So turn back toward the front, and let's look at Colossians chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 1. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you, and for the Laodiceans, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul goes on to say, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you with fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Verse 1 is kind of like the front wrapper of our nutrition bar. Here's the front wrapper. Paul gives us the backdrop for what he's about to say and reminds the Colossians of why he is contending for them. The word contend on this front wrapper of the nutrition bar in verse 1, the word contend is an athletic term that describes a competitive struggle. Contend here indicates a persistent struggle toward a worthy goal. How did Paul contend? Well, we see how he contended when we read his life account in the book of Acts and we read the letters to the various churches in the New Testament. We see that Paul contended for them through prayer, through hard work, through sacrifice, discipline, and an unshakable commitment to the message, the good news of Jesus, no matter what the cost. Paul contended for people who were close to him, the Colossians. He had such a great love for the Colossian people. He contended for people he was familiar with, the Laodiceans. He contended for people he never met, total strangers. Now that we have our nutrition bar unwrapped, let's take a bite. Here's bite one. Be encouraged in heart. We find that in verse 2. The word encouraged used here is one of those vitamin-rich terms. This is an encouragement that settles in our inner being, in our hearts, in our spirits, in our souls. Now there's an element of this word that is saturated in comfort. When we encourage others, we offer sympathy and relief to them through our words. It's expressed like this. I want to encourage you and remind you that Jesus loves you and is present in your sufferings. He's living in you by his Spirit. Now, this expression of encouragement, it draws on past established truth to give us a footing in our present circumstance. Now, there's an element also in the word encouragement in verse 2 that's kind of like an invitation. It would be like this. Let me encourage you to do something. Let me encourage you to trust Christ fully to see what a good friend he is. There's also an element to this word encouragement that urges another to keep going. It might sound like this. Let me encourage you not to give up. Keep your eyes on the goal. Let me encourage you to keep moving forward. Now, these are definitely strange days, and we want them to be over. These days in our community and the world are tougher for some and easier for others. That's just a reality of the trouble that we face. The reality of a trouble like this. Some are sick, some are healthy, some are scared, some are cavalier. Recently, I found encouragement from the words of a lyricist, words penned for those who are suffering or feeling distressed. They write, "There's something about the way you cry yourself to sleep, something so destitute and poor. Sweet is every tear that's running down your cheek, how each one clears the way for more. So if it drives you to the Savior, then don't disconnect the pain. He's got one excuse to hold you and never let you go again. So don't despise the road should it drive you straight to the sun. He's got a reason to receive you. He doesn't need another one. The blood, it is enough for every man, woman, and child to be reconciled. The blood, it is enough for those of every shade of skin to begin again." Friend, take a bite of Scripture and be encouraged in your heart. Now let's take a second bite and be united in love. That's bite 2 in verse 2. Be united in love. The word unite means to be bonded together tightly, to be glued together, to be inseparable. Later in chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul lists a number of virtues that are to be present in the growing life of a believer. And he concludes that love binds these virtues together. Paul contends for others so that they may be encouraged and so that they might be bound, united in love. Love is expressed in a number of ways. One of the aspects of love that we see in Scripture is the affection that we feel in our inner being. We are to be united in our affection for one another as followers of Jesus. Now, this is a profound attachment, this kind of love that we have for other believers initiated by Jesus, the one who unites our hearts. Love is also expressed in visible ways. We are united in love when we use our hands and our resources to outwardly demonstrate what we feel inside. Love is also expressed in the decisions that we make, the commitments that we make in our minds and our wills. This kind of love, this love is a choice that we make, even if the emotion of affection or the ability to give or receive love is not there. Love is a choice we make in the place where our convictions are forged. Love is the constitution of Christ followers. It's what binds us through the perfect expression of love found in the sacrificial life of Christ. Be encouraged in your heart. Be united in love and know Jesus. That's bite three, to know Jesus. Paul writes, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now this knowledge is the growing process of knowing Jesus. The moment we place our trust in Jesus does not come with a quick or complete download of all we know about him. Knowing Jesus is a growing process. Like any friendship, knowing Jesus comes from learning about him, spending time with him, and walking with him through life experiences, both good and bad. There is a mystery in the human experience of how God, perfect in all his being, could relate to imperfect beings like us. The solution to that mystery, Scripture tells us in these verses, is revealed in Jesus. Jesus is the full expression of God in human form. He bridges the moral distance between us and God. Later in chapter 2 of Colossians, we read that in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. As we read God's word, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit as we do, we discover that Jesus, the Messiah, has done amazing things for us. He's adopted us into God's family. He's forgiven our sins and makes us ready for heaven. He unleashes within us his Holy Spirit. He takes the part of our life that is dead and he makes it alive. He takes the parts of our life that oppose his holiness, the parts that keep us captive to sin, and he declares them dead. He speaks peace over us and changes the course of our eternity. Jesus is life for the body and nutrition for the soul. Do you ever finish your nutrition bar and think, "Wow, that was good. I want another one. I wonder what was in it." And so maybe you, like me, will flip your candy wrapper or your nutrition bar wrapper around. You'll smooth out the edges and you'll begin to squint and look at the ingredients list, and you begin to read the nutritional facts. Do you ever do that? On the back wrapper, verses 4 and 5, we discover why the previous verses were so important. Verses 4 and 5 tell us what verses 1, 2, and 3 are all about. "I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." Paul writes these things so that we will not be deceived by a counterfeit faith or a counterfeit version of Jesus. Paul writes to encourage, knowing that there are those who are discouraged. He writes to unite, knowing that there are those who are divided. He writes to proclaim truth, knowing that there are those who are deceived. You know, we are bombarded today with so much information about everything, all the time, everywhere. We're bombarded with so many opinions, so many viewpoints, so many positions. We're bombarded with so many expectations of how you and I will respond to the information that we've received and the opinions that we've heard. In this simple nutrition-packed passage, we are called to think clearly about Christ and who He is. We're called to think clearly with Christ as our priority as we contend for the lives of people we know about, and total strangers wherever they may be. In these minutes that we've spent together, my prayer is that the truth of Scripture would saturate your lives so that we might together live as the body of Christ, not only in these tough, tough days, but in the days to come when God opens the floodgates for our ministry to the community to thrive. Jesus, it's my prayer that together in these moments, wherever we might be, whatever time of day it might be, as people listen to these words, that our hearts would be truly united and encouraged and committed to the person that is Christ.